In the name of Jesus, amen. A reading again from portions of our epistle, the reading that Mrs. Anthony so beautifully read, beginning with verse 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. And then verse 16 and on. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Dear saints, Scripture is very concerned that we do not grieve as others do who have no hope. Hope. How's your hope doing these days? Jesus is my confidence. This shall be my confidence. We said over and over again, how's your confidence these days? What's keeping you going? What's keeping you pressing on? What's keeping you slugging through? Hope. We as Christians, among the many things in which we do today, have an amazing confession of hope. For after we hear the Lord's word, we all turn together and we face the altar and we say, I believe in one God. Sharpening our focus, narrowing us down, helping us zoom out so that we might see the last week, the last year, the last decade, the last 500 years, just a little more clearly, I believe in one God. Hope. Now, Christian hope is not the same as well-wishing. I hope my Colts will win today. If it's about well-wishing, then it's not about your well-wishing. It's about your heart agreeing with God's well-wishing. What is it that God wishes? What is it that God wants? What is it that God wills? Because what He wills, what He wants, what He wishes happens. He wished to make the world, let there be light, and there was light. He speaks reality. So the Christian heart hopes in the things that God wishes, that God wants, and that God wills. That is your confidence. You know the ending. You know how it all ends. So if I knew that the Colts were going to win the Super Bowl this year, if I knew it for certain, that would help me keep slugging through this lackluster season they're having. It helped me put up with the disappointments. It helped me zoom out a little bit and say, but I know how this ends. And so the end of the church year is upon us, this week and next week. And in the end of the church year, the church has us consider endings. Endings of life. For we do not grieve as others do who have no hope. Endings of this created order where the heavens are going to fall apart. For as lightning comes from the east, so must the Son of Man come. And while there is something incredibly frightening about these endings, and it must be so, let it be scary, dear saints. Let death be frightening. Let the end of the world and judgment be scary, because it is necessary because of God's judgment on sin. Our Lord says we don't face these endings, and we don't face any endings as ones who have no hope. And yet, because these are so incredibly frightening, these endings, The most common thing to do is to turn the other way. To ignore it. To not want to hear about it, to not want to talk about it. But you must hear that running away from the things that cause you fear never gets you further away from them. So hold the hand of someone you love. Hold the hand of your Jesus. And together, let's face the endings right now. Let's stare death in the eyes. Let's stare the end of the world and judgment in the eyes. Our very Lord is present among you to help you. It's a practice run. Dear saints, what happens when you stare at it? An amazing thing. Because right beyond the very things that frighten you, the endings, is a new beginning. Right beyond the very thing that frightens us are the most beautiful and precious promises that our Lord can give to us. And they are sure, they are certain, they are what God wishes and what God wills. And so this must be repeated again. You have to look at it. You have to look at the thing that scares you to see the promises beyond those things. To ignore it, to look the other way, is to ignore the most beautiful promises that your Jesus has to offer regarding death and regarding judgment. To ignore death is also to ignore all of the beautiful promises of death. It's defeated. Today, you will be with me in paradise. We do not grieve as others do who have no hope. I do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. Asleep, the most beautiful word in all of Scripture, in my opinion, for death. Because when you go to sleep, you expect to wake up. And so the Christian expects it. To ignore death is to ignore some of the most beautiful, precious promises connected to death. When our Lord Jesus calls Lazarus out of the tomb, "Lazarus, come out!" And so many Christians throughout all of history have noted that Jesus very specifically had to say, "Lazarus." Because if he wouldn't have specified that person right there, that person, you who are dead, you come out, then all the dead in Christ would have been raised from the dead right then and there because of the voice of the Lord. So face it together and hear some of the most beautiful promises that you have. Face judgment in the eyes. And when you face judgment in the eyes, there are two things that happen. First, you see what your sin deserves so that you begin to repent. You begin to see what you deserve for all of the things this week, this life, this year. And then you hear the beautiful, precious promises. Listen to this. John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus says, "Whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life." Not just will have, but has eternal life. And Jesus continues, "He does not come into judgment, but he has passed from death to life." You've already had the judgment. You were baptized. You have died in Christ, and so now the promise is that you will live with him. Our Lord Jesus united himself to you in an unbreakable fellowship, so as you face judgment, you know that that fellowship will not be broken on that day. So keep pressing on. Keep going. Look through all the tomorrows and see the beautiful, precious promises of Jesus. We do not grieve as others do who have no hope. That as we look death in the eyes, we not only see Jesus, we also see all those who are with Jesus right now. We don't grieve as others do who have no hope. We don't get sick, we don't have heart attacks, we don't have strokes, we don't get cancer in the body as ones who have no hope. We don't raise our children or our grandchildren as ones who have no hope. We don't stay up late on Tuesday evenings every 2 to 4 years. We don't watch the news as ones who have no hope. We don't go to work. We don't bear the sins of family and friends. We don't encounter financial troubles. We don't forgive others as ones who have no hope. We don't receive just consequences for our sins at times. We don't keep plugging on, keep pressing on. We don't keep trying to live a holy life. We don't suffer. We don't look to tomorrow or reflect on the yesterdays as ones who have no hope. We are Christians. We are Christ's ones. I believe in one God, narrowing us, sharpening us, helping us zoom out to see the broader picture of this past day, this past week, this past year, this past decade, the past 1,000 years. And in all this, dear saints, we see how necessary it is to receive hope, to have it planted into us, not as something as we so often can conjure up in ourselves, but being reminded of the things that God wishes, that God wills, that God's going to make happen. And so as we gather today, we all face one direction for so much of the service. Your pastor faces that direction. You face that direction. Do you know which direction you face? Get your compass out. You face east. For as lightning comes from the east to the west. And so Christians, for so much of history, have done an amazing thing. They've built their churches so that when the congregants are looking somewhere, they're looking east. They put their altars so that the congregation is looking to the east. And do you know what else they put so that those who are facing east, so often, the ones they bury. So go out and look in our graveyard. And look at so many, not all, I don't think, but so many. If they were to stand up right now, they'd be facing the same direction you're facing right now. You face east. You gather so that your hope might be renewed. That you are reminded Sunday in and Sunday out that you are facing a person who brings you hope. And that it is the same one who will raise all the dead with the voice of an archangel, with a cry of command. When he will descend, he will not only say, "Lazarus, come out," but to all of those who have died in Christ, and to you, if you die in Christ, "Come out." And you have no choice but to listen to him, and you will be so wonderfully comforted by his presence when your body is united to the soul that is with Jesus. We do not grieve as others do who have no hope. And as we gather and we face the same direction, the one direction in which our Lord Jesus will probably come from, he comes now with his word, with his body and with his blood. Lift up your hearts to the one who will come again. And he plants into you a hope because he comes right now. So look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, the one who will probably come in the east. See him face his ending. See him face his death. See him face the judgment for every doubt that you have, for every bit of life and word and deed that you have that has not proclaimed the hope that you have within you. Every act of rebellion and cruelty and lust and greed and envy, see him facing his end. And then see the new beginning. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Peace be with you. See him risen from the dead, free from every sin he bore. See him ascended into heaven and sitting at God the Father's right hand, praying for you, interceding for you, asking his Father for you. Fill them with hope. You are faithful to them. What you wish, what you desire, what you want will happen. Put that into their hearts to keep them going, to keep them living. That is your confidence. So look through sin and judgment and death. Face the endings with the one that you love and hold his hand and see his promises on the other side. In Jesus' name, amen.